Hello. Welcome and thank you for joining us and listening to our podcast, The God Beyond the Bible. Our podcast is released weekly each Friday. The content of each episode is based on the questions and curiosities we all have about God and the Bible. Many of our topics are considered taboo in the minds of the mainstream church. You will find our discussions to be, I think, refreshing and often far from traditional. But we don't just skirt around these complex issues, but confront them head on, and not in the way you're used to hearing them discussed on typical Christian talk shows. I'm Alan Rowland, creator and host of The God Beyond the Bible. As of the launch of this podcast, I've been a pastor for more than 35 years. My co-host is my daughter, Trayson, and our engineer, co-producer is my daughter, Tabitha. Our mission is to encourage our audience, along with us, to open our minds to the reality that God is simply too big to be fully explored or experienced by the reading and studying of a single ancient work. In short, the Bible's not the sum of God, and to think this is to limit what He has done, is doing, and what He will do in our future. So with introductions made, thank you for listening, and let's dive into the topic of the day. And welcome, seekers, to podcast number 130, episode number 130 of the podcast God Beyond the Bible, the podcast made by seekers and for seekers. And before we get into our second part of the study of the book of Job, or comments on the book, not really a study, we shouldn't call this a study, it's just
discussion.
Discussion on the book of Job. How about shout outs?
Yeah, our shout outs are to Jennifer, Donald, and Hindi. We're glad to have you guys on board and listening.
All right, and our quote for the entire month of October is, everything happens for a reason until it doesn't.
And, of course, that's unknown to me who that was. I just read it somewhere. Today we're going to continue our exploration of the book of Job, as we said, from what we believe is the real lesson to be learned from this ancient enigmatic work that's found its way into the modern English Bible. We'll begin with a short recap. Okay, last week we were introduced to the four main characters. They are Job, whose name means hated and persecuted, God, which was actually in the Hebrew gods, plural, because it's translated from the Hebrew Elohim. Mm-hmm. Then there is Lord, which is translated from Jehovah. And there is Satan, which means to hate and persecute, or adversary of good, or to oppose oneself.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended by making this statement as a summary or the plot of this ancient literary work. We make this suggestion that the plot is as follows. The character Job is every person in history, past to present age, that has ever had the challenges and disappointments of the human experience, who practices a religion out of fear, who, when faced with the reality that his religion has not served to deliver him from the same fate as others who make no claim to a religion, begins to question his religion, discovers that he only practices his religion because of fear of loss in the real world, and begins to question the inconsistencies of the beliefs and dogmas of his religion. In other words, Job is a story about a religious person having a faith crisis. And we would like to suggest that what may be identified as a faith crisis by the mainstream Christian religion often leads to enlightenment or true spirituality, as it clearly did in Job's case.
So we need to understand the plot, but we need to substantiate such a claim as Job's crisis being a failed religious experience because his religion was motivated by fear and a departure from that religion of fear that led to true spirituality. We only need to read a couple of passages to really get this all-important plot. The first is Job chapter 3, verse 25. After the loss of his children and possessions, Job says, what I always feared would happen to me, what I dreaded has come true.
Yeah, what I always fear has happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
What I always feared has happened to me, and what I dreaded has come true.
Job, much like the Apostle Paul before he was converted from Judaism, practiced his religion with attention to detail. Motivated to practice his religion out of fear of what might happen if he didn't perform perfectly. But his words speak volumes as proof that his religion was in vain because he admitted he lived in constant fear of loss. Loss of family, loss of wealth and prosperity, loss of his own health, his own mortality, and loss of his own life. But most of all, the loss of control over his own destiny.
We may say, okay, admittedly, Job's religion didn't do for him what he thought it would do. He did what he did out of fear of loss. If we will admit it, This is why most of us have followed and practiced any organized religion. Fear. Fear of loss of any kind, especially the loss of control over my own destiny. If the recent COVID pandemic hasn't taught us anything else, it has certainly taught us that our practice of the Christian religion does not protect us from loss. Right now it's time for honesty. We, like Job, may find that we practice the Christian religion to hedge our bets, if you will. We were persuaded that it gives us advantage over those who did not practice concerning bad things happening to us. So that's a good selling point, isn't it? We buy in.
I have absolutely been guilty of, no, we don't want to do that on Sunday morning. We better go to church because we don't want God mad at us. More or less is the thought process behind it. We'll go do what we really want to do after we go to church, even though we don't want to.
I make no bones about it. That's how the first 20 years of my Christian religion was. It was nothing but just trying to make God happy so he wouldn't let anything bad, really bad, happen to me, you know.
Well, looking back with honest reflection, fear of loss and the idea that I could insulate or insure myself against bad things was my motivation for pretty much everything I did. I led singing. I played in the church band. I taught youth and adult Sunday school. I drove the bus. I served as a deacon. I became a preacher, then a pastor. So ought to be pretty well insured, right? for 30 years I did this. For 30 years I was confused when the same tragedies of life struck those in the pews at the same rate as they did those down at the local bar. I mean, I convinced myself, like Job, that those who suffered such loss were not truly dedicated, were not practicing the religion to a T, or else such loss would not occur. And that's one of the reasons I threw in the COVID thing. Folks, so many people in the modern organized church are saying, well, God's going to take care of me.
Yes.
I don't have to worry about it. I don't need to worry about this. God's going to just take care of me. Well, my question always is, how come he didn't take care of the person sitting right next to you in the same pew that died of COVID?
And why do we expect God to supernaturally take care of us when he gives us all these other things? We don't care. And I don't want to get into this too much, but we don't care when we're really sick to take our kid to the doctor or take ourselves to the doctor and get an antibiotic which are all things that I believe God made people be able.
It's progress of humanity. Yes. It's a progress of his creation. Yeah. Of humanity.
So that one's been a really tough one for me.
Well, if everything came from God, then everything came from God.
That's right.
It either did or didn't.
Yeah,
I mean, you have
he's the origin of it all or he's not. Yeah.
Well, we've said it before, but it is of our opinion and experience that the Christian religion is based on fear. It is packaged by fear. It is promoted by fear. It is sold by fear. And it is preserved by fear. Our English text even straight out warns us to fear God. But is that what God wants? We'll only ask one question concerning this whole fear God argument, and we have to answer honestly. So here it goes. Can the object of our intense fear ever become the object of our devoted love?
No.
No, it cannot.
No. Hitler was feared, but he wasn't loved by those who feared him. Respected? Yeah.
Possibly, yeah.
Maybe. Followed?
To his face.
Right. Followed? Yes. Reverenced? Yes. Loved? No. Certainly not by those who were the subjects of his fearful treachery. Do we really think that the divine force that created us in their image don't know that we cannot love that which we fear? We've discovered that the words translated to fear, especially those that direct us to fear God, would more accurately and serve the text better to be translated acknowledge God. There's a big difference in being instructed to acknowledge God and being told to fear him.
And I know this is a topic for another day, but I've often wondered how many times that idea of fearing the Lord has led victims of like spousal abuse to assume that they love their abuser through that same concept. And like I said, that's a discussion for a different time.
But it's a thought.
So, okay, Job served a religion of fear. And as he said himself, the thing that I've always feared, the thing that I practiced my religion to a degree of fanaticism to avoid, happened anyway. So let's make a note that it's a part of the subplot, and that is that Job did not question or abandon his belief and acknowledgement in the divine that he called God, but he was forced to question his religion that he errantly thought was gaining him favor with God.
Well, isn't that the real argument? Isn't that the real argument of all the characters in the book of Job. I'm not getting ahead of myself. But religion told them that God operated a certain way. Mm-hmm. You do good, just good things. Now, a lot of people don't catch this. This prosperity, I'm jumping ahead, but this prosperity religion mm-hmm. was one of the main foundations of the Jewish faith.
Yeah. If you follow this set of rules, do X, Y, Z exactly as you're supposed to, then you'll be okay.
Make the right offerings at the mm-hmm. temple. Do everything that you're supposed to do, and only good things. And that's why, and we're going to, when we get down to the end of this study, we're going to understand, we're going to bring it into a perspective of Jesus that makes sense. But the reality is that that's the religion. And if a person that was in the Jewish faith got leprosy, they were outcast. Mm-hmm. Because that's sin. Then there was sin, and that, see what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. They were ostracized.
Well, I will use the a knitting analogy. If you follow the pattern, you end up with a scarf. That's the same concept. You follow the pattern, and everything should be okay,
yeah. Right?
Except when you end up with,
and that's what we really mm-hmm. like as human beings. We like patterns. Do this, do this, do that, mm-hmm. and this, and this, and this. But you can't put that. The book of Job shouts to us: you cannot put that type of religion. It does not prove out in real life. It right. doesn't prove out in
well,
real life.
Well, and I think that should prove religion is not about rules. It's not about
our performance. It's in not. A bunch of keeping a bunch. Who's number eight?
Thank you.
All right. We stated that the plot was twofold. Job discovers his religion is based on fear of loss. You know, he admits that. Mm-hmm. And therefore questions his whole religion. And secondly, this questioning of his practice of religion, his faith crisis, brings him into enlightenment in the end, which may be defined as true understanding of the character and the nature of God, which is true spirituality. This part of the plot is found in the final chapter of the story. Job 42, verses 1 through 6. Now, this is Job's reply to the Lord at the very end of the book. This is summing up what the whole story. So, this is Job speaking. He said, I know that you can do anything, speaking of God. I know that you can do anything, and no one can stop you. You ask, who is that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I. I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me. That's Job replying. You said, listen and I will speak. I have some questions for you and you must answer them. And Job says, I had only heard about you before. Now I have seen you with my own eyes. I take back everything I said and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. Now, let's just stop right there. What was Job repenting of? That he knew about God. He didn't know. He said, I did a lot mm-hmm. of talking. If you read that text and go in there and read it, he said, I talked about you. I said everything I knew about. See, there's a difference in knowing about someone, especially as we're receiving the information about them from a third party, mm-hmm. and actually getting to know the character of that person.
Tabby yourself. And I can both vouch for the difference in knowing the Creator and knowing the answers to all the questions. Mm-hmm. I spent many years that I could answer any question you wanted to throw at me. I had all the answers.
Yeah. Whether I truly believe those answers or not, exactly. I knew what I was supposed to say.
But it was an answer that fit the narrative exactly. of the mm-hmm. of the Christian exactly. religion.
I heard about you. I talked a lot about you. Now I have seen you and I know you personally. I have seen you with my own eyes is a phrase of spiritual awakening. I mean, we have no indication that Job literally saw God.
No, no.
In religion, we hear about God. In religion, we talk and write about God. But we can't know him because we're afraid of him. And no matter how clever and dignified we try to make our religion and religious service, we are still trying to appease and win favor of an angry being who will allow harm to befall us if we fail to appease his supernatural ego. Sounds kind of harsh, but this is the harsh reality that Job was forced to face. He knew nothing about the God that he was always trying to appease and always talking about. Sort of like what the organized church has done with the Christian religion.
Yeah.
And we believe that this is what the book of Job is really about. Remember, for a story to impact us, we must first be able to relate to the main character. Job is identifiable with every one of us in the modern organized Christian religion. We're serving a religion out of fear, in hopes that our service will be noticed by the divine to the degree that we are spared the loss that others are going to experience. The terrible calamities that befell Job are an extreme example of what it takes for some of us to step back and question what we're doing and just why we're doing it. Is it to give us an advantage over those who suffer these things? Is it a type of insurance against a loss? Having the plot so clearly set for us, it's time to read and examine the story of Job, whose character name means hated and persecuted.
But once again, we'll end this episode here so that we can begin looking at the text in a fresh episode. But let's end by saying that we believe the book of Job is very valuable and relevant when we identify with Job, because like Job, we have practiced a religion out of fear of loss and believed our efforts would win favor with God, giving us an advantage over others who suffer the heartaches and the loss associated with this world. And with that said, until next time, may Jehovah's unconditional grace, peace, and love be on in and radiate out from each of you, our fellow seekers, from all of us here at God Beyond the Bible.
Did you enjoy listening to God Beyond the Bible? Do you have an idea for an episode? Connect with us today. Visit our website at godbeyondthebible.com, all one word, or send us an email at email@godbeyondthebible.com, or you can visit us on Facebook. Just type God Beyond the Bible into the search bar.